Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, world. Welcome once again to Tuesday Talk with Key West Lou. I am your host, Louis Patron. Been an exciting week again. Everything happening. Bad things. A lot of bad things are coming to the forefront. Things that the American people don't readily know. Some things, I believe, intentionally being kept from us. Before I get into the nitty-gritty, if you wish to call in and talk with me, the number is 646-478-5731. I repeat, 646-478-5731. The number is on the screen in front of you. Before I get into news, current events, I must talk about Syracuse University basketball again. I say it with a smile. We are still undefeated. 25 victories, no losses, number one in the country. It's been a tough week, though, as most of you know. We had two close calls. We played Pitt, a ranked team, a tough team, and we played them at Pitt. We beat them by 2 points only because one of our players made a three-pointer from 35 feet out as the buzzer went off. Then Wednesday, we played a team, North Carolina State, that we should have beaten very easily. They already had 8 defeats. We played them at Syracuse, and lo and behold, we were lucky. We beat them by 1 point with a basket that was scored with 4 seconds to go in the game. Tomorrow night, it's Boston College. I think we're going to win, but I don't know anymore. But Saturday's a tough one. We played Duke again at Duke. We played Duke a couple of weeks ago, and we beat them by 2 points. They're ranked number 5 in the country. Duke's an excellent team. The game 2 weeks ago, whether Syracuse had won or lost, was the finest, one of the finest basketball games I have ever seen. This game, this Saturday, is going to be a tough one and probably will be another. Whether we'll be 27-0 when I talk to you next week, I don't know. Okay. I spoke last week about the Farm Bill in detail because it had been signed into law by the president about 3 or 4 days before my show. It was for $1 trillion over a 5-year period. And though it had many good things in it, including the food stamp program, which is part of that law, it wasn't quite up to snuff, in my opinion, because some important things were not told to the American public. The thing that concerned me the most was there are members of Congress, House of Representatives, and United States Senate that are farmers, full-time, part-time. They got a piece of the action, whatever. And they have been receiving for years and will continue to receive subsidies, first under the subsidy program, some now under the crop insurance program, all from this point forward under the crop insurance program. What bothers me is they vote in favor of the bill. The bill should permit us to know who they are that are going to get a piece of the action they're voting on. There was a provision in the bill as drafted a couple of weeks ago providing that these congressmen be identified who were receiving benefits under the farm law. It was withdrawn prior to final vote. So now we don't know what congressmen are eating off this law who voted for it. And to me, there's something wrong with that. But I told you about that last week. What bothers me this week is 3 days after it became law, it was announced. No one seemed to pick this up while this bill was being looked over and talked about and debated. I don't think these people even read these bills before they vote on them. I don't even think their staffs read these bills. I think only lobbyists read these bills. Be that as it may, it came out 3 days after the farm bill became law that corporations are barred. Not corporations. It is improper under the law. Corporations who receive benefits under the farm law do not have to be listed or identified or made known. We cannot know who the corporations are who are getting money, subsidies, crop insurance benefits under the farm law. Now, we know that farming is no longer mom, pa, and the family in this country. It's mega farms. There are 6 major corporations like Monsanto, Dow Chemical, that run farms. These are big operations, billion-dollar operations. And these companies who don't need subsidies, what a joke, are getting them through the farm law to the tune of millions of dollars. And we cannot know their names because the law says you are not permitted to know it, Mr. and Mrs. America. I think that's wrong. Now let's move on a step further. This is the first time, by the way, for this. The corporations, we are not permitted to know who they are. We talk about government waste. They want to cut Medicare. They want to cut Social Security. They want to cut Medicaid. We've got people unemployed for so long, and now they don't get their weekly benefits because the Republicans in the House of Representatives will not extend the bill. I'd like to see them go without their salaries for a few weeks. Be that as it may, it was determined, this came out 3 days after the Farm Bill was signed into law, that in the last 4 years, $36 million in subsidies, $36 million in subsidies, this is free money, my friends, were paid to dead people. You got it. People who died over a four-year period received $36 million. There's more than 4,000 dead people. Now, how does this happen? This is an agency, a big agency of the United States. Let me tell you something. Most agencies are hooked up to the Social Security computer, those that have to know when somebody dies, because the Social Security people immediately list the names and addresses of people who have died. And if you're hooked in to that computer, you know immediately also. Would you believe that the Farm Bureau is not hooked into the Social Security computer? I don't understand that either. They make payments to people and families. They're dead. How can you do this? Wasteful money. We don't know who the congressmen are, and we're not permitted to know who the corporations are, and we make payments to dead people. I got to say something. I don't think it's accidental. I think we are being had. Okay, let's move on here for a moment. People don't care today. People don't care about their freedoms being taken away from them on a daily basis. I'm talking about the NSA. They bug our telephones. They bug our computers, our emails. Everybody. And they bug, foreign countries. They bug the presidents of countries, the prime ministers. For a couple of presidents or prime ministers of foreign countries, nobody seems to get upset. I'm upset. I don't want anybody looking at my telephone or emails. It's nobody's business. I have a right to privacy someplace in this country. Now what happens? About 10 days ago, a Department of Justice official was testifying before a congressional committee. He was asked by one of the congressmen, are we, members of Congress, being spied upon? And you know what he said? Probably. Now, if I was a United States congressman and that was told to me, I'd be after somebody. I would be incensed. How can anyone, I am a representative of the United States government, how can anyone tap my telephones, bug my telephone conversations, bug my emails? But the congressmen don't care. I don't understand why. They should be furious. And to those of you who are listening to me who say, I don't care about this, I have nothing to hide, believe me, I was a lawyer for almost 15 years. I practiced big time. Once there is a problem, they look up your ass, and they'll go into all this stuff. And you may think you never do anything wrong, but let me tell you something. There are many things you've already done wrong you didn't know were wrong. And they'll start squeezing you with that information. This is absolutely wrong. Okay, I'm going to talk about the state of Connecticut. I'm going to talk about guns. We know Sandy Hook. You remember Sandy Hook School? Sand Hook School, rather, in Newtown, Connecticut. 26 people killed, 20 children, 5 and 6 years old, and 6 adults. Somebody went in there with some kind of an assault weapon, semi-automatic thing, and he shot all these people, shot these children who have yet to have lived. Well, Connecticut's upset about this stuff. They don't want to put up with it, and rightfully so. It happened in their backyard. So they passed a law that went into effect, okay, as of this past year. And the law, the deadline for doing what was required under the law was December 31st. And what the law required is that all semi-automatic rifles, all assault rifles, I'm talking about super-duper machine guns, to put it in a simple fashion, had to be registered with the state. Failure to do so was a Class D felony. Well, would you believe only about 15 people registered their guns? It was announced by the state of Connecticut on January 2nd, that only 15% had registered. There's about 350,000 people who have the semi-automatic rifles and assault rifles who have not registered them. Now, it's got to be intentional on their part, because this law was advertised all over the place. Obviously, it's intentional. The NRA probably told them you shouldn't do this. And these people, gun owners, seem to be a world unto themselves. I think they're a little crazy the way they think. I don't disrespect their right to carry arms. I disrespect what they do. They don't realize that all rights, all freedoms are abridged a bit to live in a society as we do. So now they're saying, we're not going to do it. And they just don't do it. Now, they're defying the state. What's the state going to do? These are felonies. Is this an act of civil disobedience? Excuse me. I think it is. And there's nothing wrong, by the way, with civil disobedience. Many times over in the course of history, people have been disobedient to laws because they were thought they were right. And these people think they're right. So it is an act of civil disobedience, which has been recognized and admired in the past in many instances. Not all the time, however. I think rather than civil disobedience, it tends to be anarchy. Yes, anarchy, that's a harsh word. But these people are intentionally disobeying a law that's out there to protect everyone. All the people that ain't got those, semi-automatic rifles or assault rifles. And I think by doing what they're doing, and we all know why, because my understanding is these people believe come the revolution that the United States government is going to come after them with the army and their guns and everything else, and they want these guns to defend themselves when the assault by the United States government comes upon them. Excuse me again, friends. Is it a question of morality? The members of society who do not have them, wish not to carry them. Somebody's going to take a gun and shoot somebody again in Connecticut. Maybe not 26, maybe only 6. It's inevitable. It's going to happen. There is a school shooting in this country. Listen to what I'm going to say, and I've been saying this for weeks. The statistics show there is a school shooting in the United States once every 11 days, and that is terrible. And we can't seem to do anything effective about it. So that's what's happening in Connecticut. The state has announced we're looking at this. We're not quite sure how to handle it. They got to help the problem. I mean, you got to go out and arrest 350,000 people. First, you got to determine who has the gun, and then you go and arrest them. I don't know what's going to happen, but we, the United States, cannot survive as a society unless we obey them. That's it. Elected representatives in Connecticut voted for this law. They voted out of a court to push it off. Let's go to Venezuela. The people in Venezuela loved Hugo Chavez. We in America did not like Hugo Chavez. He did not like us. He was a friend of Castro's. He took on Bush, remember, in the United Nations. He spoke after Bush had addressed the United Nations. And when Chavez walked up to the podium, he says, it smells like the devil here. The devil was just here. He says, I can smell the sulfur. He was an insulting man. But he did good for his country. I'm going to tell you something. He may not have liked us. He may have been a communist at heart, but he took care of his people. They had much oil in Venezuela they discovered under him, or they, there was so much extra money from the oil, the money Venezuela was making, that every adult in Venezuela, when Hugo Chavez was president, got a check. You heard me. They got a check every month, every year. You send them a check. You know, they're part of the profit. Now, that's terrific, okay? Ain't ever going to happen here. So, now we get a new United Nations. Now we got a new president, Nicolas Maduro. Nicolas has not done it. I got to tell you, in the last couple of years, he is nothing but a failure in heading his country. The banks are in terrible shape. They don't have toilet paper. I've been talking about this for a year. I've written about this for a year. I talked about it on my TV show. They ran out of toilet paper about a year ago. They can't manufacture enough toilet paper. They can't import enough toilet paper. I don't know why. But people have been known to be 2 weeks without a roll of toilet paper. Now, you can't argue. Toilet paper is a necessity for life. And they're running out of medicine in Venezuela. This is a country that 5 years ago was given a check to everybody based on the oil exports. Now, they're running out of money. They keep money in foreign countries. All countries do this. We do it. We keep money in other countries in case there's a problem. Their foreign reserves, their foreign bank accounts are running down because they have to take the money out. There's not enough money in Venezuela itself. Protests are taking place in the streets just this week again. Seems like a daily event. There have been demonstrations. I looked at some pictures on the internet today of the demonstrations that took place yesterday. The streets were so full of people, it reminded me of Times Square on New Year's Eve. That's how many people are out there as far as the eye could see. Well, they got money problems. They're going to get overwhelmed. There's going to be there has to be a coup in Venezuela. In the meantime, and I said this for several years now, I think banks have become whores. Banks. There was a time bankers were friendly people. These mortgage shenanigans they had and everything else. Well, two of the star players, those shenanigans, two of the bad guys, two companies that have spent billions of dollars paying fines for wrongdoing, they have done and still under investigation. And I refer to Goldman Sachs and Bank of America. Are in Venezuela trying to do business right now. They're trying to make a deal, the country of Venezuela with Maduro, okay, to get them out of this problem. Goldman Sachs is offering $1 billion and Bank of America $3 billion. There's something, I don't know, there's just something wrong about these two banks that have caused us so many economic problems in this country that they're out there trying to help Venezuela, trying to help themselves. The rates will be fantastic. This will be backed up with everything. But it's wrong for them to go there. It just doesn't make sense to me. I abhor it. It violates my conscience. I don't understand it. In the meantime, Goldman Sachs, Bank of America are telling their clients all over the world, buy Venezuelan bonds. And you know what's happening? Their clients are not buying Venezuelan bonds because they fear the overthrow of the government. And then who is going to pay them? I'm going to give you another example of a whores industry. Capital One credit card. Millions of people in this country have Capital One credit cards. They always send you, because all those payments that come to you, very small print, once a year, in an envelope. That's your contract. I mean, they run 7 pages, 10 pages, fine print both sides, and you're bound by that. That's your contract. Because if you use the credit card, it's assumed you've read the agreement, that fine print, and you're stuck. Well, they want to be sure they're going to collect Capital One if someone defaults. The new contract, for the first time, and the first time any credit card company has tried this, includes the following language. To talk to you, in effect, my perspective, harassment. The language is, and I quote, they can make these visits including personal visits, and quote again, at your home and at your base place of employment. Can you imagine the bill collector coming into the place where you work and saying, you owe us money, when you're going to pay us? Or you're having dinner with the family at night and they knock at the door and you said, I can't be bothered. Maybe they can walk right by you and walk in. It's not trespassing. Now, if the IRS wants to come into your house, if the police want to come into your house, they got to have a search warrant or they got to have some kind of a court order, because we're protected under the Fourth Amendment to the United States Constitution from illegal searches and seizures. But someone will, and do you want to know something? I think the people will lose the court, because this is a civil matter. It's not criminal. It's a corporation. It's not the government. And there's a contract. And the cardholder will have violated the contract if they don't permit these people in their homes or place of business. We have permitted. Let me tell you something else. Capital One would not be doing this unless it has some type of authorization from Washington to do this. There is some law that has been passed. These laws are 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 pages. Buried in there is a line that says they can't do this in no Key West. I want to share with you how St. Valentine's Day came to be, because we have St. Valentine. It wasn't a religious situation that created St. Valentine, let me start this way, was a priest in the 3rd century. He was a Roman priest. The emperor was Claudius. Claudius did not have enough men in the army. He needed more men. There was a law at the time that exempted married men from service in the military. So Claudius says that law is good, and he threw it out, and he came up with a new law. Yet, no, the new law was for several years. He was the emperor. He could do it. He banned marriages. Banned marriages. Now we have Valentine. He's a priest. I assume he was a good Catholic. He married people. Everybody came to be married because he was the only one marrying people. Now, he defied Emperor Claudius. Well, Claudius wasn't going to put up with this kind of thing. So, civil problem, not religious problem. I don't know how he became a saint or what. Be that as it may, Valentine was beheaded on February 14th, the day we celebrate each year as St. Valentine's Day, and that's how it came to be. He defied the emperor, he married people he shouldn't have, and the emperor said, I'm going to put up with this kind of thing. Okay, let's talk a brief bit about the Comcast Time Warner merger, one of the absolutely worst things I have seen occur in my lifetime. It's not for real yet. They say they're going to do it. It's up to the they have done. It's up to the government to approve it, because it may be monopolistic. These companies get bigger and bigger. Let's look at Comcast alone. Comcast owns all of NBC, which means they own CBS, CNBC, MSNBC. And they're even big, and they're going to get bigger as an internet company. You know that Comcast, and this was in the news media all week, Comcast and Time Warner, no question about it. We're limited. I have Comcast. I hate these people. You have no idea how bad they are. Everyone hates them, but we're stuck. We have to do them, okay? Well, they come together. They're going to control 70% of the internet business in this country if this is approved by the government. And the reason they do these things, and the reason these big international corporations are now joining together, are merging, because they want to become the power within a certain area where goods are sold. I'm sure that Comcast and Time Warner's lawyers are very sophisticated and have prepared a plan which they believe will avoid the written word of the law, antitrust laws, and so forth. If they do, then this Congress better get on their ass, and this president, and do the right thing like Teddy Roosevelt did. Remember? You know, he walked softly and carried a big stick when he went after the corporations, and somebody's got to start going after them. The problem is most of our congressmen are beholden to these guys because they're lobbyists. They give them tons of money. for their political PAC. They give them trips and everything else. Our Congress is constantly being bought. I'm not ashamed and I'm not afraid to say that. And this Comcast Time Warner thing, my friends, are going to find is a problem unless it gets blown out by government itself. Okay, let's see now. We are now here. I want to talk about Tom Perkins. Tom Perkins is a wealthy man. He's a venture capitalist. He's the guy who said last week that rich people in the United States, that he's a rich person, rich people in the United States are being treated like Jews were in Nazi Germany. They're becoming scapegoats because things are bad. Well, things are bad because big business is screwing the people. You know, he's one of those one percenters. The one percenters are defecating on the nation. He's right. And the people are going to get upset with him at some point. The Jews were, Hitler said the Jews had ruined the economy. It was not true. This is true. They are screwing up the economy, these rich people. And unless they start thinking about that 99%, they are going to be in trouble. Okay? And that's what Thomas Perkins said this week, and that's right. That's the show for this week. Before I depart, I'd like to tell you again about my book, The World Upside Down. It's been out there for about 2 months now. It's selling. The World Upside Down by Louis Petrone. If you enjoy it and the comments I make, this is a series of 32 essays that elaborate on things that have happened over the last 7-8 years. So you can find it on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com. Give it a look. Buy it if you're interested. I guarantee you will enjoy it. It was good. That's terrible. I'm the author saying that, but it's true. Thank you for joining me. I look forward to being with you again next week.